This is an acoustic fingerprint guide of York Minster, narrated by Patricia Green and Norman Painting. First, please find a seat in the nave. You probably entered the Minster through one of the west doors. These are the main entrance. If so, the nave was ahead of you. If you're in any doubt, please ask one of the Minster staff for assistance. Switch off now, and switch on again when you are seated. Now you will hear a welcome from the Dean of York Minster.
Hello, and welcome to York Minster. The Dean and Chapter are very pleased to welcome you here, and we hope you enjoy your visit very much. As you go on your way, may I start you with the Minster Collect. O eternal Lord God, who in thy mercy hast preserved through the ages this house of prayer to be the habitation of thy glory, mercifully grant that, coming unto thee as living stones, we may be built up a spiritual house acceptable to thee through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
This guide has been specially prepared for visitors who are visually impaired. During your tour, you will stop at a number of places of interest to listen to a description and touch some of the features. The tour will be in this order. 1, the North Aisle. 2, the North Transept. 3, the Chapter House. 4, the North Choir Island Choir. 5, the Crypt. 6, the Lady Chapel. You will then return to the nave for the final part. When it is time to move on, you will hear the instructions. You can, of course, proceed at your own pace. The guide lasts approximately 75 minutes. As this is a specially produced guide, the acoustics of the building, as well as other sounds and music, have been captured. All the recordings have been made on location, at the appropriate positions. For this reason, you're often asked to stand in a certain place or sit in a particular row of seats. We hope you will enjoy hearing about the Minster. Please note that while we have tried to take every possible care, we have to ask users to follow the itinerary at their own risk. However, as this is a very busy place with more than 2 million visitors a year, it may not always be possible to gain access to some of the places and features described. For example, the choir gates are closed for the rehearsal before evensong, and the east end of the Minster closed completely during the service.
The history of the city of York dates back to Roman times, when it was a military centre of great importance and headquarters of the 6th Legion. The territory of northern Britain was administered from here. In the 4th century, Constantine the Great was proclaimed Caesar of the West in York, and he later granted toleration to the Christian Church. As early as the year 314 AD, York had its own bishop. After the collapse of the Roman Empire and the withdrawal of the Roman soldiers, little is known of the city's history until 300 years later, when the Anglo-Saxon Northumbrian Kingdom was established. In the 6th century, Pope Gregory sent his first Christian mission to the Anglo-Saxons. Churches were set up as centres of worship, and each of these centres was referred to in Latin as a monasterium. This became Minster in Old English. Pope Gregory had hoped that York would be the northern ecclesiastical capital, and that a minster should be dedicated to St. Peter to indicate its early associations with Rome. In 627 AD, at Easter, the Northumbrian king Edwin was baptized into the Christian church. A small wooden church was built specially for the occasion. Shortly after, the first stone church was begun on the same spot. Edwin was killed in battle, and Oswald, his successor, completed the building of the new cathedral church. The full title of York Minster is the Cathedral and Metropolitical Church of St. Peter in York, meaning that it is the cathedral of the Diocese of York and the chief cathedral of the northern province of the Church of England. Over 13 centuries, the Minster has been rebuilt, extended, and restored. In the early days, it was renovated by St. Wilfrid. The Norman building was begun in 1070 under Archbishop Thomas of Bayeux. Further building was carried out in the next century under Roger Pont-l'Evêque. You'll hear more about the history of the Minster during your tour. The present Minster was begun in the 1220s and took 250 years to complete, and therefore many different styles of architecture are to be found here, as you will discover. The first fact that you may have realized about York Minster is that it is very big. The external length is 519 feet, 157 meters, or one-tenth of a mile. The staff say that by the end of a busy day, they may have walked several miles. It's the second longest cathedral in the country. Only Winchester is longer. The ground plan of the Minster is cruciform, or cross-shaped. The body of the cross is formed lengthwise by three sections. First the nave, then the choir, the second section, and the Lady Chapel, the third section, at the extreme east end. You are seated facing east in the first section, the high and spacious nave. Aisles, like wide paths, run on either side of the nave, the north aisle on the left and the south aisle on the right. The aisles are divided from the nave by an arcade of columns and arches. Here, the width across the nave and aisles is 104 feet, or 31.6 meters. At the east end of the nave is the nave altar. Next, continuing eastwards, is the crossing, which is almost the center of the building. On either side of the crossing are the rectangular transepts, which form the arms of the cross, the north transept on the left and the south transept on the right. The chapter house vestibule is entered from the north transept. On the east side of the crossing, the tall pulpitum screen divides this area from the second section, the choir. On either side of the choir are aisles. To the east end of the choir is the Lady Chapel. The central part of the Minster, and also the transepts, rise in three sections. First, the arcade or row of tall columns supporting high-pointed arches. Above each arch are the four smaller arches of the triforium. This is an arcaded wall passage which allows access to this level of the building. At the top is the clerestory, where tall windows let light into the nave. There are 128 windows in the Minster, and most of them contain precious old, painted and stained glass. Above the clerestory is the nave vaulting, which is made of wood. It is 93 feet, or 28 meters high, and dates from 1840. The previous vault was destroyed in a fire. All the high vaulting in the Minster is made of wood. Behind you is the west door with the great west window above. On either side are the two west towers. The bells you heard at the beginning, ringing for the Sunday morning Eucharist, hang in these towers. The peal is in the southwest tower, and Great Peter is in the northwest. Great Peter, who weighs 10 tons, is rung daily before noon prayers, and you may hear his deep tones during your visit.
Each area has its own acoustic fingerprint, caused by differing vaulting heights and surfaces such as large areas of glass. These will be described during the tour, which takes you in a clockwise direction around the Minster, beginning in the north aisle. As you are facing east, the aisle is to your left. Please get up now, go to the front of the chairs, and walk to the north aisle. You will hear the acoustic change as you pass from the soaring wooden vaulting of the nave into the lower stone-vaulted aisle. Once in the aisle, turn right and walk down the aisle to the curved wooden steps leading up into the nave pulpit. Stop by the steps. Switch off now and switch on again when you are standing by the pulpit steps.